Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. This is Dr. Sherry Denham sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and I am here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Henry Cloud, and of course, your calls. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll look forward to talking to you.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I love listening to you guys.
I'm kind of in a valley as far as my faith. She has a tumor on her lung, and she's in kidney failure. And my question is, how do I tell her that she's dying?
In the court systems, teenagers usually have a lot of ability to say where they want to spend their time.
Change is not what you say, change is what you do.
Do you ever disagree with him to his face?
Very rare.
Here's what I think cremation is. It is a dust acceleration program.
You're going to go forward. You're going to do the next right thing. You're going to sin no more. And he's going to have to sit with that.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Dr. Sherry Denham filling in for Steve Arterburn. And I'm here with Henry and Jill and our callers.
Yes.
I have to tell you guys a story.
Okay.
So last week I went in to get my car fixed. Love my mechanic. I trust him.
And is he one of the 18?
I was going to say, no, could he be number 19?
He's not, but you know what? I did interview him before I actually went to pick him as my mechanic. But he told me, I did a lot of car work on my car, which I think is ridiculous. I actually think a car should just work. You shouldn't have to put money into it. It should just get up in the morning, turn it on, right?
You get that? Jill gets that. And by the way, it's when you apply that philosophy to men that you really get in trouble.
It breaks down right that way.
Men should just work. That's what I hear from you guys.
Okay, so my mechanic tells me after I get done, you know, cutting him that check, he said, "You know what? You really need to get 4 new tires." And I said, "Oh, Chad, I just don't think I can do that right now." I said, "Can I wait till June?" And he looked at me and he said, "Probably not a good idea. Don't wait till June." And I said, "Okay, but that's like, yeah, I just can't do it." So anyway, I did not heed his good counsel and wisdom, and I just had a blowout on the freeway.
Oh, wow. On the freeway?
On the freeway. Wow. I was on the freeway, and I have a blowout, and it was not a pretty picture. So I pull over.
Did number 19 pull up and rescue?
Well, you know what is really funny is I was actually talking to number 8 on the phone.
Okay.
And he said,
some
how
people
old?
May not know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, because we've been talking show to show.
Yeah. Finding a Date Worth Keeping, Henry's book. I'm on number 18, right,
of
dating.
You've really been taking it
to heart. I've been taking it to heart. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm on the phone with number 8 going, "Hey, I'm on the freeway. I mean, I've got a flat tire." So I call AAA, and this is what he says. He says, "Hey, find out how old the guy is with AAA. Maybe you can make him number 19.
Number 8 said that?
Number 8 said that?
He's thinking, man. He's wanting me to move through the process. So anyway, so I'm, you know, because I didn't
he want you to come back to number 8?
Yeah.
Well,
I think he thinks
that if she gets through her quota, then she'll come back.
That's exactly what's happening.
Because
we keep hearing about number 8.
Number 8. Now, apparently, number 8 did not wow you.
Oh no, but I'm going through the process. I'm not picking
but
until I at least 20. Get to 20.
Oh, right? So he's still in the game.
Yeah.
You're just going to diligently make it to 20.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I thought that's what we were supposed to be doing. I don't have to do that? Okay, we'll get off that. Okay, but let me just finish telling my story. So anyway, I pull over, AAA's on their way. I have to unpack my trunk cuz I've got boxes and bags in my trunk, putting it in there. I put it in the back of my car. And then what happens, something falls out of the box. As I'm in there and I didn't heed the word, this little rubber head falls out of my box. Okay, and this is what I did. I squeezed it. It's just this little rubber head, and it says,
"Relax. Calm down now. Don't stress. Take it easy."
Is that not good? God is so good, even with my stupidity. God came for me. But I got to thinking, what is it about us?
It doesn't look like that.
No. What is it about us that waits until something is so bad in our relationships, waits until we have a blowout before we actually reach out for help? I had good counsel that said, "You're in trouble. You need something," and I didn't heed the call. So let's talk about that. All right? Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you for listening to us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Thank you.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
So, welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham sitting in for Steve Arterburn with Henry and Jill. And so what is it, Henry, that why do we wait till something bad happens before we reach out and get help from a therapist, from support group?
How can I make
well,
this?
Well, we don't – sorry, Henry. I was just going to say we don't want to do what it costs. And for you, it was the cost of the tires. So, you know, that pain feels greater than the pain of the blowout. So we kind of play Russian roulette, I think.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that go into it like that, the pain. Mm-hmm. But humans have a great capacity for denial. And you see this throughout the Bible. In fact, I think that this is one of the biggest issues for the spiritual universe. And you see it throughout the scriptures. For example, Noah kept telling everybody, there is a crisis mm-hmm. coming. There is a crisis coming. Yeah. Everybody kept marrying and burying and all mm-hmm. that sort of stuff. And Jesus said in the second time around, it's going to be just like that, that he's going to come like a thief in the night.
Right.
And we could go on and on about this because it's clearly taught throughout the Bible. But let me say it kind of in a wrap-up sort of way. Healthy people get up every morning and create crises. That's what health is. You wake up if you're alive and you're healthy, and what you do is you create urgency about doing things that are vital that do not need to be done right then. Okay? Mm. Unhealthy people never create a crisis.
Yeah.
And by not creating crises that they have to have urgency about that don't exist, crises come to them and force them to take action. So basically in life, we have two choices, two options. We can respond to that which is vital but not urgent. Okay? If you exercise and take care of yourself and this and that, you don't have to do that. But if you wake up every morning and create that crisis for yourself where you say, I've got to go do this, then the heart attack doesn't come.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. true.
Okay?
Yeah.
Right.
So
you cannot mm-hmm. create that crisis every morning. And you cannot go in and get your teeth cleaned. And you cannot go get your cholesterol checked. And you cannot do all this mm-hmm. stuff. Why? Because nothing's forcing you. You're not creating the crisis. And then the heart attack or the root canal or the abscess mm-hmm. or the broken marriage or whatever. And if you take a relationship, for example, a healthy marriage. Go to Ephesians 5. That a husband shall love his wife like Christ loved the church, who gave himself for her and does all these things. There was no reason Jesus had to do. His day was not going to cave in. You know, he was fine. But what he did was he created urgency in our – he creates urgency in our lives every day for us that says, you need this, and I'm going to go do this for you. And that's the difference.
Yeah.
And there was nothing forcing you to go get your tires fixed, and so you do what all of us do.
Mm-hmm.
We think we got one more day before the flood.
I know. Well, we don't. So I shoulda, woulda, coulda. But I learned a lesson. I did. I learned it on the mm-hmm. side of the 5 freeway.
Well, don't you think that that's kind of almost, I'd say there's the lesson of life, but really the parable of the oil in the lamp. Remember that one? Where Jesus said there's, I think it's a group of young virgins, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of a redundancy. Where he says that they were supposed to get oil in their lamp, and some of them did and some of them didn't. And then when the time came, you know, he's talking about when he returns, they're turning to the others and saying, give me some of your oil, give mm-hmm. me some of your oil. And they said, no, or I won't have enough for myself. In other words, we have got to be doing the work that life requires before life requires it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We need to be prepared.
That's the lesson.
Very good point. Well, hey, let's go to the phones. We are going to go with Kathy here from Anchorage, Alaska, and she's calling from station KATB. Hey, Kathy.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you are welcome. You're welcome. How can we help you?
Okay, quick background. I've been married 20 years.
Okay.
And, when I was a teenager, I joined this church, which my husband has been raised in. In fact, he's third generation, and that's where I met him when we got married. And over the last few years, I've come to an awakening that this is a cult.
Okay.
Is the denomination a cult or the local, just a local church?
Say that again.
Is it part of a denomination that's a cult, or are you just in a local church that's that you're saying is a cult?
No, I would say it's part of a denomination. It's worldwide. It's not like well-known like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, but it has all the same characteristics in that it's very legalistic. The deity and the divinity of Christ is messed up.
Oh.
That's a lot good. Of it is fear and guilt-driven. And I've come to know Christ in the last couple of years, wow. and it's been a thrill mm-hmm. and a joy.
Mm.
But, of course, I'm in this marriage, and my husband is an elder in this.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
One of the complications with me leaving, I haven't left yet, is that we have one of the main things of the church is that they don't have a building. People meet in homes. And we have one of the meetings in our home on Sunday morning,
wow.
which my husband's an elder. And if I leave, the authority in the church will take that out of our home. And I'm not ready for that battle yet.
So help us. What would a question be?
Mm-hmm.
Give us a question.
As I've been coming to know Jesus over the last few years, and I've been trying to share these things with my husband, I get a wall, and I get arrogance, tremendous amount of arrogance. He will not discuss anything with me because it's very taboo. You do not ask questions.
Right.
You walk the walk. Yeah. You talk the talk, and you do not ask questions. And to him, I'm apostate.
Okay, so we kind of get the picture. How can we help you? What's your question?
My main problem right now is how I'm living in my marriage with intimacy with my husband. Because right now, I'm seeing him as weak and insecure. And he's never been a spiritual leader in a home ever. Many of the men aren't. And when he's treating me this way, like I'm the one with the problem, he's right, the church is right, I'm the one who's wrong, it is so hard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So how,
I mean,
what's
to
your...
To accept his advantage, it advances in intimacy.
Totally get it, totally right. get it. So how can we help
and
you?
And so now it's making things worse.
Uh-huh, so give us your question, Kathy.
Do I be intimate with him, I guess, is my question. How do I get over that
intimate meaning
wall?
Sexually, or...
Yes,
okay.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Even if he approaches me in the kitchen and wants to give me a hug, because I know he doesn't love me more than he loves the system. I'm not asking he loves me more than Jesus.
Right. Mm-hmm. So your question is...
He doesn't even know who Jesus is.
Here's my husband. But, he's in a cult. I have come to know the Lord in the last 3 years. Do I be sexually intimate with him? What do you think? Henry, Jill?
Well, I think, you know, Kathy, certainly you becoming a Christian has changed everything for you. Prior to that, you were part of this system. And the way you've described your husband, it's generational. It's like this is almost like his ethnicity. He is so
Absolutely.
Much a part of this church. So it is challenging a lot. And people usually do dig their heels in, because to take that structure away from him when he's not yet, you know, seen what he can have, would mean he would be losing everything. So, of course, he's going to stand and fight. So I think, you know, in some ways, seeing how Christ has changed you, it's kind of like, how can you be that wife that wins your husband by attraction and being Christ-like to him in your marriage, which means realizing that he's just blinded right now. You see, you're no longer blinded. He doesn't. So to keep on loving him and moving towards him in a way.
That's the hard part. That's it.
Yeah.
Because
do you have children?
He's wanting to hug me with one hand, but then on the other hand,
yeah, Kathy, do you,
psychologically smacking me around. You know what I mean?
Oh,
do you have,
yeah.
Kathy, do,
telling
do you,
me,
Kathy,
you know,
do you
I'm,
have children?
How can I?
Do you have children?
So there is no.
Kathy, can you hear me?
From him in the
Hello?
Level.
Hey, Kathy. Kathy. Henry's asking if you have any children.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, do you have any children?
We have three.
How old are they?
17, 13, or 14, excuse me, and 10.
Okay. Now, does the conflict come up before the kids, in front of the kids?
My teenagers are well aware.
Of the way he treats you?
They've seen some of it. My, in fact, when he and I have been in some, we don't get in knockdown, drag-out fights, but there have been heated discussions. My older teenagers will come in and sit and want to talk about things. My youngest one isn't quite as aware.
Okay, let me ask you one more question. If you're not talking about spiritual issues, how does he treat you?
Pretty well. Pretty well.
He's soft and loving and caring, and
he
listens to your opinions, and you have choices, and all those kind of things.
He's really a
good
nice
question,
guy.
Henry. Yeah.
So if you're away from spiritual issues, you're okay.
Right.
Okay. Well, this is a very, very, very complicated scenario because you've got an allegiance to God, right? And you know him. What the scripture tends to say in a number of places in a number of different ways is that this issue between the two of you should not trump all the other issues. If you go to 1 Corinthians 7, I think, for example.
About living with an unbelieving
husband. That is one of them.
Or the scripture says, don't withhold your body from your spouse except for the purpose of praying.
Right.
I mean, that's clear.
And Peter's instruction to, if you're with an unbeliever, to win them over by not talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So
I liked what you said earlier, Henry, about not confront a mocker, that scripture.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And, well, that kind of fits in here, too.
That's where I feel I've been mocked.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so for a lot of reasons, you know, the Bible tends to say just because you have a different faith than your spouse, that doesn't kind of put that debate in that forefront as the most important thing that you can be doing. The most important thing that you can be doing is working out a relationship with him, you know, on a number of different levels that would then maybe have a doorway to where he can see light. So back to the sexual question, okay? If you were not talking about this, asking him to make some huge life shift that, like Jill has pointed out, you're really talking about his generational kind of groundedness. If you're not trying to ask him to do that, and you're just having a marriage with him with all the other issues, are you guys happily married? To where sex would fit into a normal scenario,
yeah,
the way
prior
you
to
guys.
All of this.
It's been up and down. There have been problems in the past.
Okay, so here's what I would do in reference to your sexual issue. If you take the theological differences and put those aside for a moment, and say, you guys are just two people who are married, and if a husband is being mean or snitty, usually that's not when a wife wants to sleep with a husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't make it about that you guys just had a conversation about the Trinity. You make it about the conversation about how he, you know, treated you in the kitchen about the roast beef or something. because it's the connection with you. And I don't mean to be mean to him or anything, but in kindness, couples work out issues between the two of them. Mm-hmm. Now, this issue is one that the Bible would actually support in a number of ways. You're not addressing, at least first, and working out a good marriage. And so for the sake of the kids, I would put all that aside and model not being a doormat in other ways, that he doesn't have a generational hands up on you to play the trump card, and be a good model of a strong, loving woman that wants a good relationship with her husband, theological differences aside.
Right.
And then it says if he leaves you, you're free.
So, Kathy, we care about you. We'll be praying for you. We'll send you what? Boundaries in Marriage? Might be a good one. We'll be right back.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and I'm here with Henry and Jill. And we have coming up in November, November 3rd through 6th, is our Lose It for Life. That is the weekend that we have where people come who are struggling with being overweight and food, and we have a whole weekend that's filled with programs. We have a nutritionist that's there. We look at the spiritual principles. There's maximizing life, how to lose weight. You've probably known some of the folks that have gone.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter what size you are. If you struggle with food, then this is for you. Mm-hmm. And we look at food issues, but we look at a lot more than that. Deeper than that, right?
Well, and it's interesting. We'll have callers call that went to our one in January. And it's kind of fun because they'll call and they're like, well, I've lost 35 pounds and I'm still applying what I learned over the weekend. So we'd love to have you come to that. It's November 3rd through the 6th. And so that's coming up.
What I was laughing at was my absence of struggle lately. You said if you struggle with food.
You're like, no problem.
I don't have a problem with food. I'm eating. I'm getting fatter. No problem. It's all, you know.
It's all good.
What it's so I'm about 10 pounds up right now. And you know what's difficult for me is if I'm not traveling a lot, I can work my program. But when I start traveling and the structure goes crazy and I fly into some city,
the disruptions.
I got up at 4 to get on a plane and then I'll travel and then mm-hmm. stuff. And then I get to my hotel at 11 that night. Like, I'm going to go to the gym.
You probably order a pizza and have it brought in room service.
And you're eating very differently, like on the run. And I had a bunch of travel and I have ballooned. So I need prayer, guys.
We'll pray for you over a pizza.
Hey, you guys are going to start praying for me. I'm going to contract a stomach bug and can't eat for a week and lose it.
Kathy, we wanted to send you another book. It's actually Rescue Your Love Life by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. And so we wanted to send that one to you as well because you thought that would be a really good book for her.
You know, it really is interesting, this dynamic. And you see it with some of our callers or a lot of our callers from both sides of the male-female mm-hmm. spectrum. You've got a husband or a wife whose spouse is not kind of getting with the spiritual program. And it's so what the Bible says is so counterintuitive mm-hmm. and counter to our impulse to try to, you know, bring somebody along.
Especially when you're a new Christian. You're so excited that you want them. You know, that becomes your main focus.
Yeah, and the Bible just says do the opposite, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And isn't it funny
win
how...
win them over without a word.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to control and manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go to the phones here. We're going to talk with Sophia. She's calling from Los Angeles, California, KKLA. Hey, Sophia.
Hi.
Hey, glad you called. Good. Good, good, good. We would love to hear from you. What would you like to share with us?
Okay. All right. My question is, do I need some kind of therapy or can I handle this by myself and move on?
Okay.
Sophia, stop. Stop.
Do I have to go to therapy,
stop.
Please? Tell me no.
Just please stop. Just stop and listen for a second, okay?
But she's calling three therapists.
The two options that you just gave mm-hmm. are, it's sort of like, do I need therapy or do I do this alone? The second one is not an option in life. We were not ever meant to do any kind of situation in life alone, even go through the day. If you don't get enough hugs, your brain starts to like fall apart and go to sleep and, you know, your immune system changes and blah, blah, blah. So going alone is not an option. And yes, you need therapy. The Bible says, just stop and listen. Therapy means healing. Okay. Now, I think the question you're answering is, how should the therapy that the Bible tells me I need, we all need therapy. Mm-hmm. We all need healing. Jesus said he came to seek and to heal that which was lost. So I think your question is, what form or structure should your healing be administered in? Maybe a group, maybe a friend, maybe a couple of, you know, people that gather around you, maybe a shrink, maybe a hospital, maybe an army of counselors. We don't know. But yes, you need therapy, and no, you don't do
maybe
it alone.
Maybe a trip to the gym, Henry?
Maybe a trip to the gym.
Oh, see, I do that a lot.
Obviously, it's not enough, so we need to find option number two. So what? Ask your question.
Or tell us. Okay. We've got the question, right? We just need to know what's going on.
Right.
All right.
What's
the history
issue?
The history is I was married like for a year and a half, like 25 years ago, and the husband ended up with my best friend. We were in like a Christian group traveling around the world, in music, but we ended up together. So subsequently, after I got out, this is the problem. I met a married man, and I was with him for like 25 years, off and on.
You met a what man?
A married man.
A married man.
So your friend took yours, so you went and took someone else's.
See, people tell me that, but I never felt. That wasn't my thing.
It wasn't
like,
hers either.
Yeah, it's kind of how the math worked, though, right?
I guess.
Yes, we're here with Sophia. Yeah. We have a dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
Sophia shared with us that she was married 25 years and her husband...
No, 25 years ago.
Oh, 25 years
for
ago.
She wasn't married 25 years.
Got it. No. Her husband had an affair and then she met
with her best friend.
With her best friend.
Hard. So, Sophia, guess what? We're going to talk to you after this and give you some helps and help to move you forward. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis, listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Hi, welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and I'm here with Henry and Jill and Sophia, who actually felt the pain of her husband having an affair.
Or we think.
Yeah, with her friend. Mm-hmm. And then she has also gotten into a relationship with a married man. So
Sophia, have you been with this guy for 25 years?
Sophia?
Going back, that's the problem.
We couldn't hear you. Sorry. Start over. You've been with him, the married guy, for 25 years?
Yes, off and on.
What does that mean, off and on?
That means it'll be 5 years, and then I'll be... In fact, I didn't see him for 7 years, and then I went back. I keep going
okay.
back.
So it's not okay. consistent, but you keep going back.
When you left, did you leave him?
Yes.
So he was willing to keep this thing going.
Would he turn it down?
Well, that would be nice if he would. Yeah,
response of the conscience,
right?
You know.
So what's your question? How can we?
My question is no. All I want to know is, do I need? You know, you already heard it, but I want to move on healthy because I'm done with that. I'm disgusted with that. So, but it was 25 years, so it'll affect me in some kind of way. So I do want to move on healthy because it'll pop up here and there, and it'll affect my future relationship.
Well, it sounds like it's kept you from future relationships almost, because you've had a 7-year gap, so time has not done it, because you've had a 7-year gap and you still went back to this gentleman.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
So that alone might suggest that maybe you need more than just getting away from him and having a little time.
And it suggests too, Sophia, that there was some pain in mm-hmm. the breakup of your marriage, because to be 25 years ambivalent with a married man, there was some hurt way back there that you didn't deal with. That's really
exactly.
That's what's mm-hmm. kept you from going forward, and it's what's kept you from getting into another real relationship.
That's what I've been told, but I move on so quickly because I didn't want to feel...
Right, and by doing almost the same thing, you keep yourself from that pain, from really acknowledging what happened to you.
Correct.
So do you need therapy? Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
A lot of it.
Three votes. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't that be good news?
I'm sorry?
Why wouldn't that
Therapy's
be good news?
Therapy's a good
news?
Thing, Sophia. Yeah, we sit and do it all day long.
What if we said, no, you're hopeless and terminal. Last thing you need to go to therapy, it's not going to help, right? So that's good news, right?
Okay. I thought I could just, like, read books and stuff. So I need to talk to somebody and deal with this, correct?
You need to be in a growth relationship that's ongoing, that's safe, so you can explore these feelings that you are so deathly afraid of.
And okay. Sophia, let me give you just one example. Okay? What you just told, how long were you married?
Oh, the good part is only a year and a half.
Okay, how long were you with him?
Just that, a year and a half or two.
Okay, so 2 years, and you were, so how old are you now?
I'm old. I'm like 50.
Well, I hope 50's not too old. Cause,
you're in good company in this room.
So listen for a second. Here's what you've just told us. For at least 27 and a half years, okay, which is more than half of your life, that you have pursued less than satisfying love relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, you were not able to see in your husband and in this second situation, you were not able to see those two men's incapacity to love you correctly and wholeheartedly.
Okay.
Do you see that?
Yes. Now that you pointed it out, yes.
You picked a guy.
I was picking a lot less than what I deserve. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you deserve it or not, but you're picking a lot less than what is normal and good.
Okay.
Okay? I think this whole concept of somebody deserving love and not getting the that's such a problem. So I throw up.
Okay,
forget that. Please forget that. What I want you to focus on is not what you deserve, but what you want and need. Okay? What you want and need is a guy that shows up with 100% of himself. You didn't have that the first time, and you've, by design, found one that can't show up with 100% of himself the second time. Because he's got a whole another family.
Okay.
Right? I want to know, in your soul, why would that be okay with you? And that speaks to some parts of you that you don't have access to that need more than that, mm-hmm. and that probably got shut down way earlier in life, that God would be on a mission to find and to bring into your awareness so that you can take all of yourself into a relationship where all of somebody else could show up. And that usually takes some deep kinds of soul searching with a guide who can help you go there.
Okay, I got it.
Just talking with you, Sophia, you know what's funny is you're really endearing. You are endearing. Your voice, I'm thinking you're charming and enchanting, you know, just talking with you. And yet what Henry said rang true with me, just kind of hearing your voice, is I imagine you kind of engage in relationships in that kind of charming, lighthearted, playful, enchanting way. And yet the idea of going deep is frightening. You may not have grown up in a home. You probably didn't grow up in a home where you learned how to go deep. And that's why even therapy seems frightening to you. Because it's like, what would I do? What would I go there?
Well, and to have 100% of a guy, what would you do with that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When you don't feel 100%.
Right.
That you have that much to bring to the table.
Yeah. So I echo these two and say, get into counseling. Learn how to go deep. Learn how to develop.
But it's a step at a time.
It is.
It's not somebody just dumping you into the deep end of the pool when you don't know how to swim.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what would be a good resource for our lovely Sophia? What would be a good book?
I would like to send you Changes That Heal.
Yes.
And
nice.
I want you to look at those four things that books talks about. Your ability to connect, your ability to have good boundaries and say no to things that aren't good for you, your ability to take ownership of the parts of you that are either hurt or imperfect, and fourthly, the ability for you to come to life feeling equal and mutual to other people so that you can have a mutually satisfying kind of relationship.
Thank you.
There you have it. Thanks for calling. We appreciate you doing that. And let's go to our next caller here. Scott from Orlando, Florida. He is calling from station WTLN. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how are you? Great to hear from you.
Hey, good to have your call. How can we help you?
I've been, I had lived in the gay lifestyle since I was probably 17. I moved from Pennsylvania to Florida, and when I became 17 down, or I was 17 when I came down, and just went crazy because I was away from the parents and everybody.
Uh-huh.
And I became a born-again Christian on December 6th of 1996 and have forsaken the lifestyle and not participated in it ever since. But I'm just inundated second by second with male lust all the time, and I cannot, even though I try to get images of Jesus on the cross or other things in my mind, I cannot, let me take it off speakerphone, maybe that's better for you. Or is it worse?
So you've been sober. You've been really living a life of sexual sobriety. Amazing.
Exactly.
So proud of you.
For that. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
I mean,
really.
And
so,
I've not masturbated or anything. I mean, I have a few times, but I mean, that's not a current issue.
And so these images keep coming back, and that's your question for us, is what...
Yeah, I mean, how do I clear my mind?
Yeah,
I mean, we're going through every man's battle in our church right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they didn't order any workbooks to go with it. And I think it's kind of strange. They just give one workbook sheet for each. They're trying to do it in 6 weeks. I don't even know if that's feasible. And they just ask us one question each of the 6 mornings. And
So what your question is it how do I get my mind pure? How do I get the images?
Is it images or people?
Like if I'm driving on the highway, I see construction workers with their shirts off, anything masculine, muscles, tattoos, beards, that'll just put me back in my past lifestyle.
And has it increased recently, Scott? Because you've gone...
Oh, no, it's never gone.
It's never gone.
I mean...
Okay.
Yeah, it's like torture second by second, and it makes me feel like at times it gets me to the point of depression and suicidal thoughts.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I've asked God to deliver me from it, it's just not happening.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, Scott.
Okay, Scott. When
I got a man up here. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
We care for you, Scott. We really care for your heart. You're an amazing man. I don't know any man who... I'm so proud of you. You've been sober all that time. And really following the Lord and asking Him for release. And so we want to help you with that. We want to... we're going to get here. We're going to go for a break. But I'd like to come back and just give you some thoughts, to have our group here give you some thoughts on what you can do to help cleanse your mind from these things that have been coming in the images. So hang on. We'll come back. Give us a call if you'd like to have your call answered. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham sitting in for Steve Arterburn with John and Jill.
And or Henry.
Where's John? Jill?
Oh, sorry. Henry. Woo!
My brother's John.
Your brother's John? Yeah.
Henry and Jill.
John's here somewhere.
Yeah.
In spirit. In spirit he is. You guys are like salt and pepper shakers. And then Scott, who called in, who's really been struggling. He's been actually sober for years, but is asking, how do I actually stop the thoughts? And he's tempted, you know, just by looking. So, yeah. Thoughts.
Still there, Scott?
Yes, I sure am.
Scott, go ahead.
The trouble is I can't even go to a church service without seeing, you know, I think it's almost every gay man's fantasy to fall in love with a straight man, especially if it's a straight Christian man, you're going to be okay. That'll be right, but that's very wrong. That's more twisted,
Scott,
than anything.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
What if you... What would you say if you heard a caller that was heterosexual and was single and said that they were really, really struggling, like you said, with lust, and, you know, they drive by the beach and they see these women in bikinis and, you know, it just really is a very difficult thing, you know, to keep their minds pure and all this. What would you say to them?
Well, I would probably say don't drive by beaches. But, I mean, people are going to be everywhere, so you can't really avoid them.
There you go. So what what would be the second line of advice?
Give me a clue.
No.
Can I buy a vowel?
This is why he's struggling.
What did you say? Can you do what?
Buy a vowel.
Can he buy a vowel?
Yeah,
like game show.
Oh, by a vowel.
Yeah,
he
needs a clue.
Yeah, call a friend. Okay, let me try to sort of give a brief, because we don't have a lot of time on this. But here's the problem: that sexual desire, whether it's straight or gay, sexual desire goes so deep into the human soul that it means very different things for different people, depending on where the deepest hunger of the soul is. Okay? For example, and I'm going to stay on the heterosexual examples for a moment, so you're not tempted to make this just about yourself being gay, because that's not what it's all about. The Bible calls single people to those who want to follow God into sexual celibacy, right?
Right.
Okay. Heterosexual or gay. That's what it calls them into. Now, what happens is that sexuality is so intertwined with so many human issues in people's soul, straight or gay. Things like the deep need to be connected to someone and to feel loved, to be known, to have intimacy, which comes from the word intimum, which means the deepest, innermost being. Not just your body, but your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It gives people a sense of power, in a good sense of the word, of executing the power to be in a relationship and make choices and et cetera, et cetera. It gives people a sense of being fully known without the fig leaf, that they get rid of the shame and they let their, you know, their strengths and weaknesses be revealed and being embraced for all those, straight or gay. It just encompasses all of the hungers that people have. Now, to the degree that one is engaged in life of getting those hungers met in non-sexual ways, then lust begins to diminish.
It made me think, Henry, I have a girlfriend, Scott, who is gay, and we have a friendship, and I tell her, I said, part of your healing, because she is just like you, has made a change, but she, to come out of that and to be sober, but she has said, I'm your straight friend. I want to love you in a way that's safe. because you had said, Scott, that your fantasy, your greatest fantasy was to have a relationship mm-hmm. with a straight man. And I think that's interesting because I think you need relationships with straight men that can be a godly, loving, connecting, right. bonding.
The, right. They don't sexualize
totally,
the relationship.
Yeah, because I'm right. safe. For my friend, mm-hmm. I love her well. I love her deep. I know her. I accept her. But she has the opportunity to feel what it feels like to have right. nurture and love from a straight woman.
Right.
And it's been so
with healthy
good.
Boundaries.
It's been good for both of us, actually, in that friendship, you know?
And what we would say to any single person who's struggling with overwhelming lust is, first of all, stop beating yourself up for it. Because that's going to make it worse in a lot of different ways. Okay? Can you do that?
He is actually.
Okay. Yeah. So stop. But see sexual hunger in anyone as being, what would be the word, getting to uncontrollable hunger levels, also to the degree that sex is being asked to carry more than sex can carry, which is
right.
sometimes
it's more of a quick fix.
Deep feelings of isolation and this and that. Straight or gay, mm-hmm. okay?
It's really about connecting.
So it tells you what you want.
So, yeah, so it's not just about controlling yourself. Mm-hmm. It's about getting your soul fed in good relationships.
In healthy settings.
Right.
What sexual orientation somebody has.
So let's do this. What would be a good resource to send to him? And then we're going to be hearing from Larry Sonneberg. So what would be a good book?
Well,
Changes That Heal?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would suggest Changes That Heal because it talks about bonding and the need to be connected mm-hmm. and what you might find if you're overwhelmed with lust, straight or gay. This is not a gay issue.
Yeah.
Okay? Straight or gay, people need to be connected.
They do. Well, we are going to hear from Larry. Larry Sonneberg is our president of New Life Ministries. Hey, Larry, good to have you.
Good to be here.
He's going to give us an update in light of the ministry and what's going on from a financial end here. And in the middle of the summer, there's distress here.
Well, it's hard to believe the year's about half over, but it is. And rather than an update like I did last time I was on, I wanted to just encourage people this hour to join Club New Life. You know, we don't like coming on to the radio and spending time when we should be talking to the listeners to ask for money. That's not what we would like to do or want to do. And the way we can prevent that is if we grow our Club New Life, which is our monthly giving program. So I want to encourage any of you who have not joined or have never called a ministry, never belonged to a club like this. It's a monthly giving program. The minimum is $30. It's really just a dollar a day. And if you could do that to help keep this vital, incredible ministry alive, we would really appreciate it. And it makes a difference. It changes lives. And that's what we're all about. We are all about life change. I don't know.
We want to stay on the air. We've lost a few stations, right?
Because
the funding has changed. And so we wouldn't be asking you if it wasn't something that we needed. And if we hadn't already lost some listeners. My mom's in an area that actually got lost. I know. I was like, hey, Mom. She goes, I can't even get it anymore. And I said, that's weird, but it's one of the areas. So it really, we do need you. It's a listener-supported ministry.
Well, you know, when you go to the beach, there's a flag system that the lifeguards use. They have a yellow flag, a red flag, or a green flag, depending on the tide and the weather conditions in the water and how rough it is. And I'd say we have a yellow flag out now, and we don't want to go red. We want to get it green.
Yeah.
And the way to get it green is if you'll make a gift to New Life and call and join Club New Life.
We are grateful. We're grateful for all of you listening. And thank you to so many of you that make this possible for us to do. This is the only radio program like this out there that we actually take live callers and have the opportunity to care for you, to hear your calls. In fact, we hear that some of them say they were on the point of depression or suicide mm-hmm. and they were at home. And there was nothing other than the radio coming into them. And God uses this. So please make that call. Give us a call.
There's no other ministry like it.
None. So thank you. We appreciate you and have a great day.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.